Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Reflections on Black Mirror, the podcast that takes an episode of Black Mirror and, as the title says, casts reflections on it. I'm Dan, and with me is
Dan as well.
Hi Dan, you okay?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm looking forward to doing this episode. I've said multiple times I hadn't seen this series before. I know it hasn't had a lot of love generally, but I'm going to lay my cards out here. I love this episode.
Yeah, I think the series as a whole, I think this episode and the Scottish one, I can't remember the name of it now.
Lock Henry, I think that's the next episode.
Yeah, Lock Henry. I really enjoyed both. Oh no, actually, there's three episodes I enjoyed. I'll take that back. This is one of the better episodes of the series, I think. I think it starts off the series quite well. I can't remember if there was a long gap between the last series and this episode, but this felt like a really good Black Mirror is back episode.
I actually think, yeah, it's about 4 years, I think, if I'm remembering right.
Well, the series before, wasn't it, was only three episodes, but I can't remember what the gap was, but they are often quite spaced apart, aren't they, series?
Yeah, I'm sure it's 2019, the last one. And yeah, coming off the back of Rachel, Jack and Ashley 2, which was a fairly upbeat episode as well.
Yeah.
I think I like that about this. But also, did you see, well, you saw because you tagged me in the response, but it's getting another series next year?
Yes. And it's a 5-episode series as well, wasn't it?
I think it was 6, actually. So we'll have at least another 6 episodes next year of this then.
And I think one of them said one of them relates back to a story that's already, did it say 5 new episodes and one that links back to another episode?
I think it's a USS Callister sequel.
Okay.
Which I'm a bit mixed about. I don't know whether I like the idea of there being a sequel to an episode.
No. Yeah, We'll see. I'll tell you what, we'll review that next year.
As long as it's got Prime Minister Callow in it, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Actually, we should go back to what you said. We'll cast reflections on it next year.
Yes.
Right, so we are here for season 6, episode 1, Joan is Awful. I'm only going to call out a few of the actors and actresses for obvious reasons in this at the moment, because if I say what the character names are, if you haven't seen the episode, I honestly recommend seeing it. It stars Annie Murphy as Joan, Salma Hayek as herself. It's got an appearance from Michael Cera, and I'll come back to him later. It's got Rich Fulcher as Gainsborough, Salma's lawyer. So I don't know if you've ever seen The Mighty Boosh, but you'll recognise him from that. But regarding the cast, again, I thought, And there's a lot of people I haven't said, actually. We've been saying about this, but this feels like a proper power cast now, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And I know you said you only sort of said one person as Joan, but there's actually 4 people that play Joan throughout the entire episode, isn't there?
Yeah. And well, I wasn't going to say that because that was a spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, but that's fine.
But obviously, 3 of them are quite famous.
Yeah.
And even like some of the almost like the cameos, you know.
Yeah, even the boyfriend, you know, Krish, they're all famous. You've got Rob Delaney, who is the boyfriend. So yeah, this was a proper and I don't know, for me it's Salma Hayek is obviously feels like getting her in this episode was just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Had you ever seen Schitt's Creek as well?
Never.
Oh, because that's got Annie Murphy who's Joan. Yeah, definitely watch that. That's a funny series.
I also find it quite interesting when an actor or an actress plays themselves in an episode. So
yeah,
we obviously have Salma Hayek do that in this episode. And that's always quite an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, we'll get into it. Spoilers, obviously, for Joan is Awful. The episode opens up. And the first thing I've made a note of here is the opening of it looks like the Netflix font, doesn't it? And not even the sound, isn't it? It's got the Netflix sound, which I thought was quite cool. We see Annie Murphy as Joan wake up, gets ready for work. We see a whole scene of her like brushing her teeth, you know, getting dressed, I think. And that's really important for an obvious reason we'll come on to later. She's sitting for breakfast, which her boyfriend Krish, played by Avi Nash, is getting ready for her. As that's happening, she gets a text on her phone, which she hides from him. And then there's a funny scene, isn't there, when she's driving to work and she's singing to a song, and I can't remember what the song is, but she's really going for it.
Yeah.
She gets to her job, speaks to her assistant when she gets in, and we find out she's about to have to fire someone. She does that. And there's, again, there's a whole scene, there's reactions to the firing, both from her and the employee. In the meantime, we see her get more and more texts from an ex of hers. After this, she goes to counselling. She sees a therapist. And we find out that she dreams of owning a coffee shop, that she loves her fiancé, Krish, but finds him a little boring. She says, such as his food. And she mentions that life with her ex was far more exciting and volatile, but she still feels like she's missing out on a life story. She says that she's not the main character in her own life. That's an early clue, isn't there, to what's going to come up.
And she also mentioned that she's not over her ex as well. So she kind of missed, even though it was volatile, she never got over him.
After her session with her therapist, we see her text Mac, who was her ex, back and says that she will meet up with him. They meet at a restaurant, and it's clear, because he makes it clear, that he wants to reunite with her. But she says she's with Krish now. They have a kiss, and she says ultimately she doesn't want to be with him, so she goes back home. At home, Krish is making dinner, which we now know she's pretending to enjoy. And there's a funny bit, isn't it? He gives her a bit of food to taste, and she's like, is that salt? Like, that's a really exotic thing he's added to it. After dinner, they settle on the couch to watch TV. So instead of Netflix, they've got something called Streamberry.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing you caught, there were some Easter eggs here, right?
There was about five or six Easter eggs on that same screen, wasn't there?
Was there anything you picked out? So for people listening, yeah, basically they're looking at the Streamberry screen, which looks exactly like Netflix, and they're flicking through their list of shows. And all the shows are either episodes in this series or from previous series, aren't they?
Yeah. And I think we've come to learn with Black Mirror, that if ever there is a screen on the programme, there is an Easter egg on it. And I saw episodes of Sea of Tranquility.
Yep.
I saw Locke Henry, which is obviously the episode after this one. And they even described it. They're kind of like, is that the Scottish like horror story?
One. Yeah.
And he kind of said, no, he can't watch that because it's too serious. There's a documentary on the Callow Years, which I thought was really good. There was a couple of others, but I think that came up when it kind of flicked around to the other people watching it, didn't it?
Yeah. There was definitely one with the, again, we haven't done it yet, but with the character from Bandersnatch on there. I saw that.
Yes. We haven't done that episode yet.
So it's really clever that basically, yeah, they've made Black Mirror episodes Easter eggs within this fictional streaming service. So that was just fun. That was a fun thing as well, isn't it? Because you're kind of looking at the screen, pointing and saying, I recognise that.
And obviously things like the documentary on Michael Callow is obviously a documentary on the Prime Minister, and the Locke Henry one is, and we'll kind of get onto it, but he's filming a documentary when he kind of goes up to Scotland. Okay. So actually it could be the episode he's actually producing.
Right.
So it's actually almost like a realistic Easter egg in that way.
Yeah. And at least with the Callow Years, we now know that he's obviously had his time in prime, at number 10. And he's now obviously doing something else. So yeah, good old Mr. Callow's back. So
I wonder, what's the actor's name that plays him again?
Somebody Kinnear. I can't remember his first name.
But I wonder if he watches Black Mirror and kind of goes, oh, I've referenced my episode again. Oh, and again, and again.
Does he get royalties?
Yeah.
So anyway, so they skip past all the Easter eggs and they see a show called Joan is Awful, starring Salma Hayek. And you see the thumbnail and this character, because they actually talk about it, don't they, Joan and Krish? The character looks like Joan. She's got the same style hair.
But she claims it's not the same hair.
Yeah.
Don't you think? She mentions that a few times. Like, that's the point. She hasn't got my hair. That's not my hair.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is.
It is, because it's really distinctive. Because what is it? I can't remember now. It's like she's got brown hair, but like with a blonde stripe.
She's got
down
kind
the middle,
of two blonde streaks, hasn't she, either side of her face.
Yeah. Against her wishes, they start to watch it. And basically, as the show starts, it's replaying the start of the show. So everything she was doing, so when I said she's getting ready for work, she gets a text, she's driving to work, that is being replicated scene for scene, but with Salma Hayek as her. We're then seeing other employees are watching the episode too. And then there's another funny scene with Mac sitting on the toilet scrolling through social media. And again, I just found that a funny scene, isn't it? Because we've all done that, right?
Yeah. And did you spot the Easter egg on the phone as well? I did, scrolling. Yeah.
Do you want to shout it out?
Yeah, so it had Lacey, didn't they? Because she was scrolling through Twitter and Lacey was tweeting, who is a character from...
Nosedive.
Nosedive, that's the one. And that was obviously a big social media episode, wasn't it? So it's quite a good way of linking it in.
But did you see she was tweeting and she was commenting on a cake, which is what she was doing in that episode as well.
Oh, that's very clever. No, I didn't notice that.
It was, yeah, because I've got a note saying Lacey Pound, which was her character, commenting on the picture of a cake. The other thing I spotted, I think he was flicking through it so we couldn't see it, but it mentions Tusk as well, who was the rapper in Hated in the Nation.
Yes, so yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I'm like you now. If there's a newspaper, a screen, a ticker on a news show, there's something there.
I'm getting to the point where I pause the episode at that point just to see if I can spot it.
So then Mac gets the reason we're talking about this, the reason why they're showing him on the toilet on socials isn't just for the Easter eggs, but he gets a notification saying, like, new program downloaded or something, Joni's Awful. And I think he clicks it and starts watching it. Meanwhile, it goes back to Joan. She's watching herself, as it were, on the screen. And then she's starting to get annoyed. She thinks that Chris has pranked her, right? But he says it's not him. She starts then getting texts from friends and family who are saying they're watching it. Now, I think it's clear she's panicking because she knows what's going to come up, right? The dinner with her ex and the kiss. So while she's getting distracted by all the texts she's getting, Chris sees on screen the text that she was getting from Mac. Then she sees the comments at the therapist regarding Jones saying that Chris was vanilla and Mac was exciting, and then sees a kiss. Now, that's got to be really harsh, right? Not only finding out that she thinks that, but you see it on TV.
Do you know what the other interesting bit I thought about that set? Because they obviously replayed the bit where she fired that girl, didn't she?
Yeah.
And she kind of claimed, said, I didn't say it like that. I wasn't that harsh. And
yeah,
when you actually watch it, and I guess it's from her perspective, it wasn't as harsh as what the TV show made out. But when it cut to the person, and I assume her girlfriends or her partners watching the show, she kind of almost like agreed that's exactly how it did happen. And it was harsh because her partner was going, oh, what a bitch. And then she goes, yeah, I know, right? So she never kind of like validated the version. Well, she kind of validated the way that Streambree had seen it, or Joan is Awful has seen it, but Joan had kind of dismissed that she was that harsh, which I thought was quite interesting, that the two different perspectives.
And you're right, because when she fired her in real time, as it was, she felt quite sick about it, didn't she? She really didn't enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
After all this, after getting upset, Chris leaves Joan, he gets in the car and drives away. And then this is where it gets interesting. We see the show catch up almost to real time when Salma Hayek is sitting on the couch with her version of Chris, who is Himesh Patel. They open up Streambree and they find the Joan is Awful show on there, but starring Kate Blanchett as herself, as Joan.
I like that bit.
So in TV version of Joan is Awful, Joan is going to be played by Kate Blanchett. So I'm now going to call Annie Murphy's Joan, real Joan for now, okay? All right, so real Joan goes to work and we see her getting fired because of the publicity the show is getting. Now, you know, like she said, this isn't her fault. She doesn't know where this has come from. She hasn't got a clue. So she goes to see a lawyer. And did you see the Easter egg here? The lawyer that she goes to, they're called Scalane Legal.
I did spot that.
She speaks to someone at Scalane Legal and ultimately they tell her that Streambree are legally allowed to replicate her life due to the acceptance of terms and conditions. Now, we'll get onto this after, but this whole thing is fascinating, isn't it? About the end user license and...
And I think that's kind of a play on something that we've all done. None of us read those terms and conditions when we accept them. We all just scroll to the bottom. And you know, sometimes it won't let you accept until you have scrolled to the bottom.
Yeah.
As if you're reading it. And we all do as well.
You literally read nothing of it, right?
Yeah, nothing at all.
You play a lot on the PlayStation. I don't know on there, but you'll get even on games now where you have to scroll right down, like you said, to the bottom of and you just want to play the game, right? By the time it's downloaded and installed the like 50 gig patch, you know, you just want to get started, don't you?
Yeah.
So yeah, so we find out that Streamberry are in their absolute right to do this representation of her because of that. Joan says she's going to sue Salma Hayek, but then, and this is it, this is where the show goes to that next level. We find out then that Salma Hayek in the program isn't Salma Hayek. It's an AI deepfake version of her. She is just allowed the digital likeness of her. So basically, Streamberry are creating a program with a digital likeness of Salma Hayek. So we've now got to that next level, which again, AI will come up later on. She then asks the right question. How do they know what she's doing? Because they know everything. And the lawyer says, basically, have you ever had a conversation and then your phone has shown you things around what you're discussing? And we've talked about this.
This definitely happens. You definitely get adverts for things that you have talked about verbally during the day.
Yeah, the lawyer is saying that they've got everything we do is being tracked through our smart devices. So she then says, Joan says, but it's making her look worse and is making stuff up. The lawyer then points to page 54 and says it's allowed to create characters and dialogue for creative purposes.
Yeah.
Joan then goes back to Mac and they start, this is a brilliant scene as well. They start to make love, don't they? But he kind of stops, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He says he can't do it. He can't get hard. And she's like, why? And he goes, one, it's going to be seen on TV, but he also then doesn't want to be the guy who can't get it up for Salma Hayek.
I really love that level of thinker where he's kind of gone into an Inception sort of style kind of layer and worked out what it looks like.
But the thing is, it's worse than that, though. He knows it was going to be on TV, but still initially was going to. But then it was only because he was thinking about it being Salma Hayek on TV.
But because I guess at this point we're a few days in, so there's been a couple of episodes, hasn't there? By the time
there would have been,
because have we covered the bit where she goes into her job and gets fired from her job because she
that was earlier on,
that was on the second day. So and that was because she was against her NDA that she signed.
And
even though she hadn't personally kind of given away an information because her character did, she got fired from her job.
Yeah. After they decide, or he decides he can't get it up because he doesn't want to be the one who can't get half a Salma Hayek, she then goes back to the living room to carry on watching the program. And we see them get to the scene where she is speaking to the lawyer. Now, I can't remember the exact term, but when they were talking about Salma Hayek and... Oh, that's right, because... I think Annie, I keep calling her Annie. Joan says, I'll speak to Salma then or something. And she goes, she doesn't even know it's Netflix. This is getting so confusing now, this episode. Streamberry owned the right to her and they can make her do anything, even make her do something quite rude, make her have oral sex on an animal, wasn't it? And she couldn't stop them. So when she's watching this, you see her eyes light up. Like she realizes... there's something she can do. So we then get to one of the next funniest scenes in this episode. Joan goes and buys a load of burgers. She then also buys a load of laxatives, which on the bottle says full evacuation in 20 minutes, which I found a funny term. So she stuffs herself full of the burgers, drinks bottles of the laxatives. She gets dressed as like a cheerleader / reminds me of Harley Quinn, doesn't
Harley, she? I thought a Harley Quinn character, yeah.
Bursts into a church, crashes a wedding, and basically defecates all over the floor, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Basically, she then gets arrested, and we find out she did this in an attempt to get Salma Hayek to intervene, because Salma Hayek doesn't want to potentially be associated with someone who defecates in a church. And it has the required effect. We then see Salma Hayek going to her lawyer, who is played by Rich Fulcher, who then explains to her that it's a character and not her doing this, so she can't sue. as she signed her image rights away, and it covers any actions up to and beyond defecation on page 39. So again, it's when they call out these specific paragraphs in the contract. She then says, doesn't my asshole have any rights? And she then goes, you take your paragraph 8 and shove it up your ass, and I hope you get paper cuts in your hemorrhoids and die. which had me rolling on the floor. She actually says they wrote her language a lot more mild than that, but she wanted to up the swearing sheet, apparently. Anyway, Salma goes to visit Joan, and they discuss what to do next, and they then settle on going after the Streamberry CEO to destroy the computer. Oh, and there's also a funny bit, because Salma then is surprised, because she goes to Joan, how much are you getting paid for this? And Joan goes, I'm not getting paid.
Yeah, I thought that was quite funny.
Salma was really outraged on her behalf there. So we then cut to the next scene where they are at Streamberry. Her and Joan effectively break in, and we see that the system making this program is called Quamputer. So it's a quantum computer. And I guess the thing I haven't said is, so we know that Joan has seen a program called Joan is Awful, in that they're watching a show called Joan is Awful because he's got Cate Blanchett, but we now know that that program is also seen. So this is, like you said, it's inception, it's continuing.
It's layers,
it?
Yeah.
So we then find out why Joan was chosen. And basically, they wanted a nothing person, a totally normal person, someone who wasn't special ultimately. And oh, that's it, because sorry, we see the Streamberry CEO talking to a journalist, don't we? When the journalist then asks, why awful? Why can't you do something positive? And what was it she said? She said they tried to do more positive programs, but it didn't do well. It didn't tap into people's neurotic side.
Yeah, that's one of the points I mentioned. Oh, you know, I said before we started at 8 points, and I reckon you'd cover them off. That's one of the points I've written about how people need to focus on the negative and the evilness of it rather than a happy-go-lucky one. Because it even showed some pictures of some happy faces, didn't it?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. People don't want happy.
And because at this point, we also then see hundreds of is awful tiles, don't we? So it's like Dave is awful, John is awful, Sally is awful, basically tailored to individual people. So after that, Salma and Joan break into the computer room, and it's being guarded by Michael Cera. They are then watching a screen where Joan sees herself on screen, but the real version of her. So now this is when I said it's going to get confusing, because I was calling her the real Joan. We actually see the source Joan, I think they call her, don't they? So here's the actual real Joan in real life breaking into the room. So now Joan, Annie Murphy's Joan, realizes that she isn't real ultimately. So source Joan is a real person that everything's based off. So at this point, Annie Murphy Joan wants to, or level one Joan, probably as we should have called her, wants to destroy the computer. But we then find out if she destroys that computer, I think them and everyone in the layers is going to effectively die, isn't it? By destroying that computer that's generating it, that she's going to kill them all. So Salma Hayek thinks she's real in that level. So she then turns around and starts begging the Annie Murphy Joan not to destroy it. But at that point, Annie Murphy Joan realizes that because the program replicates everything she was doing, for her to be standing there, Source Joan must have got into that room and destroyed it. So she smashes the computer up. And then this is kind of what you said at the start. We then get the credit scenes and scenes happening in between those. We see the real Joan in therapy. We learn she is now under house arrest, but is now feeling like the main character in her life. She's running a coffee shop. And she's now real. She's now friends with the real Annie Murphy, the actress in real life. And she goes into the coffee shop, doesn't she, to buy a coffee off Joan. So, yeah, at the end of it, we see Joan and Annie Murphy who Annie Murphy's playing herself as herself. And that's what you said about characters playing themselves. So, yeah, I found it hard to describe those last few scenes because it all starts getting really, really complex with the layers. But that is ultimately it. So, first things first, over to you. Thoughts on the episode?
I think this episode's really good. I like the end. I know I said this last time, where a lot of the endings I think are quite bad. and could be done better. But I like this ending. I like the twist, but we weren't watching. We were watching a show and not real life. And I also like that the character, even though her and Annie Murphy have now got like tags on their feet and under house arrest,
yeah,
which feels weird to me because I don't think they really did anything that warranted that. Joan now feels at peace, and she's at peace with her job, isn't she? She wasn't enjoying her job.
Yeah.
She's now running a coffee shop as she'd always dreamed. And she seemed happier in her relationship status of being by herself for a little bit, didn't she?
Yeah.
So I thought the ending was really good as well.
Well, I guess the tags are because they broke into the Netflix or the Streambury office and smashed the computer up, I guess, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like you said, there was a couple of really cool bits in it. One is where the Annie Murphy Joan is watching the program and she sees it's replicating her life. So that's already get you thinking. But then, yeah, when they pull the rug from under you right at the end to realise that she's not the real Joan, everything you've seen before it then kind of falls into place and you look at it in a different way now, don't you?
And I like what they also did is because obviously Joan at some point in that in her therapy session, the level one Joan, and you mentioned it as well, how she's like, I don't feel like the main character in my own story.
Mm.
And at that point, she wasn't the main character because the main character was Source Joan. I thought that was quite clever. They had Annie playing the main character for so long. And it's also almost like Source Joan then suddenly took the mantle at the very last second and became the main character in her story. Again, I kind of quite liked how they did, maybe I'm thinking about it too hard, but I kind of quite liked how they did that. She almost like reclaimed that spot and became happy at the same time.
No, you're right. And that's why I made the note here saying it was a very intentional early clue, but only when you finish watching it and you go back to it. Obviously, the whole thing stems around terms and conditions. There is a scene where I think where she's at the lawyer and the lawyer pulls out like this thick wadge of papers and says, it's all here in the terms and conditions. And she says, I haven't seen this. And the lawyer says, you've just not seen it printed out. Yeah. And I do wonder if we did see it printed out. I mean, it feels to me like terms and conditions, should they be as long as they are and as complex as they are? I mean, it's weird, isn't it?
It does make you wonder, doesn't it? In this world where GDPR is such a big thing, where data privacy or online privacy is such a big thing, that we're still skip over these terms and conditions and just tick that box at the end because we kind of want to move on. I guess it's not just online, right? It's probably like, you know, if you open up a bank account as well, I'm not sure I probably have read all the terms and conditions on my own bank account because you just assume it's, you know,
you just
it's
want
okay.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But yeah, so it's quite interesting how we still kind of skip it. And do you know what's funny is while you were talking at the start, I Googled why was it called Streambury.
Oh yeah.
And I've actually found a Streambury website, and Netflix have knocked up a Streambury website where you can upload your photo and produce it on kind of that Netflix type of screen. And on it is a tick box that says, I have read and agreed to the terms and conditions. And then I found myself sitting here thinking, I wonder if I should read them before I move on.
Well, do you know what? It's funny because I'm going to come on to that later. But yeah, I did see a note saying, yeah, they knocked up a site called streambury.tv where you could do your own Is Awful image.
Yeah.
And I think to advertise the program, they did put billboards around the UK of people that uploaded their image. And just to say that apparently, that obviously they would be, but Netflix were allegedly or supposedly immediately supportive of making it a Netflix clone. So they were really happy with it. The other main thing I thought about this is the whole, and you know, we've had recently the whole writer's strike, which was kind of around AI, wasn't it? But the whole AI generation of programs, I don't know if I made it overly clear, but this Joan Is Awful wasn't written by anyone. It was created by that AI computer. It was programming that was being churned out by this computer. But we've got AI, deepfake, and digital likenesses, which we've kind of mentioned before. It's a whole new world in and around that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know if you picked up on the text I sent you midweek as well, but I heard someone, Stephen Bartlett, who's a big podcaster, he was talking about AI being a disruptor to the podcasting industry. So he's got a team who have researched how to make a whole podcast, which is scripted and spoken by AI, and released it into the world. And 40% of listeners stayed on till the end. And I think that's, you know, as a first stab, that's quite incredible, isn't it? And you just wonder how scary that's going to become, where we're going to get to a point where even the radio, you know, radio podcasters, it's just going to be, you're not going to know if you're listening to real people or not anymore.
So how do our listeners know if we're real or not?
Because we make too many mistakes.
you got us. There you go. Yeah, I don't know what I think about that in terms of entire programs being created by AI. I don't know why it doesn't sit well with me. I mean, obviously you've got the whole, you're putting an industry out of work.
Yeah.
I still think that things like music and TV and films and books and podcasts come from people and the
creativity,
stories.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the stories behind those and the people behind those rather than it just being some computer code.
Yeah.
I think that's why it doesn't sit well.
I agree. And you do kind of wonder if you, you know, you lose the personal experience. The whole, oh, I did this 15 years ago, or this can't come up, and you kind of lose the history. Yeah, you just think you're going to lose too much of a personal element to it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've said on here. Yeah, I have said on here. I did an episode on AI and I said to my guest that, yeah, you could get AI to write you the next hit song. I think we actually, we discussed it on the last episode of this with the Rachel, Jack and Ashley too, where they were making AI write songs. For me, music has come from where, you know, a group of people got together. They've been practicing in their garage. You know, they're touring the pubs and clubs and then they finally make it big. And it's almost like that's what fuels their music. Whereas you'll be making your own music, because why do you even need to listen to bands? Because you can just create your own.
Do you think it would stop you listening though? Like, if you knew that like an album that come out was generated by AI, would it put you off buying it?
They stuck it on vinyl, no.
Stuck it on vinyl. Can you imagine that? That's like the most backwards piece of technology going, isn't it? An AI-generated song going back to vinyl.
I guess no, right? If you like the music, you like the music. But let me ask you this then, right? So I know you like the Beatles. How would you feel then if you were getting new Beatles albums every year created by AI?
Do you know what? Obviously, and we've talked about the latest Beatles song that came out, because there was part of that was generated by, I don't know if it was generated by AI, just using technology to restore some of the voices. And it didn't sit right with me to the point where I haven't actually listened to that song, because I didn't feel compelled to go out and listen to it, because it just didn't sit right that they were releasing something so long after the death of like two of the Beatles and kind of profiting off it. Like, it doesn't make sense that someone can pass away and then release a song 30 years later. Like, that, more than 30 years, isn't it? It's that. However, when they did it with Free as a Bird, it felt different back in the 90s when that song came out. And that's a little bit of a similar situation. So I don't know is the honest answer to your question, but I know the last one they did a couple of months ago didn't sit right.
See, the recent one that you're talking about, I don't mind so much, because I think they found the recording and, yeah, they used AI, I think, to split the recording out, the vocals and the music, and to improve it. What I didn't necessarily agree was the video. They put Paul and Ringo now with John and George from the past. And I found that a bit odd to watch.
Oh, but yeah, see, I didn't see that.
What I would find weird, though, is imagine next year you get a, quote, brand new Beatles album and it's sung by John and Paul with Ringo and George, but they've not had any dealing with it. It's just AI has created a new Beatles album. You could get new albums out indefinitely.
Because I guess the last one was actually written by John. Whereas, yeah, if they start producing stuff which is not written by them, but releasing it as them, but you'd never get new bands. Like, you'd never get
anything new. Why would you need to, yeah?
You'd never get anything new coming through. We'd be almost stuck with the current set of music forever.
Yeah.
Because you would just re-release those styles. You wouldn't get any new styles come out. And
yeah.
Oh, well, I don't like it.
Well, you said, you told me, I didn't know this. So you said on Spotify there's an AI DJ, right?
Yes. Which is, I think, is quite good. So that AI DJ, it looks at all my entire Spotify history. And I've been using Spotify for years and years and years and years. And produces a playlist based on not just things that I've listened to, but things that are in that genre of stuff that I listen to a lot. And it's very good. Like, it produces a playlist and I'm not constantly skipping songs.
You said that it speaks as well, the DJ. So it's not just
a playlist. Yeah, it speaks to me and tells me, you know, says things to me and says,
I don't like your taste in music.
Yeah.
You really should listen to this. But could you imagine, though, you could get like the Beatles singing heavy metal songs. So you could be producing their heavy metal albums, and then it's they're now in their hard rock era.
I don't like it.
Going then on to digital likeness, again, we discussed it last week. In this episode, Salma Hayek has sold her rights to Streambury, but then is pissed off at what they're doing. So when Joan did the defecating in the church, she really didn't like it, but she couldn't do anything. So it's like, I think you said in a couple of episodes, like we're seeing it in like Star Wars. They've brought back a few people who have passed away.
Princess Leia came back, didn't she, after she passed away?
Yeah. Oh, there's a guy, and this is where I always forget the name, but from the original films, they brought him back in one of the new films.
Ghostbusters, they did it recently, didn't they? They in the latest Paul Rudd one, the guy that played Igor.
He came back
as a ghost. I think Bruce, I'm sure this is a story, but Bruce Willis has actually copyrighted his image, so people can't do, and he's obviously become quite unwell, hasn't he, Bruce Willis?
Yes, yeah.
I think, but he's copyrighted his image, so no one can do that to him in the future, and I think you're going to see more and more actors and actresses doing that.
I'm like, right, so in this instance, if you've passed away, some people say, well, what does it matter what they do with your likeness, but it just feels weird that, yeah, because they could make you do anything. Like, you know, we've just said you could, in theory, make the Beatles release a death metal album. Well, you could, yeah, your likeness could be used to do anything.
Yeah.
Like defecating a church and you couldn't do anything about it.
Have you ever seen that advert? And this is a bit of a scarier one, where they kind of show two parents an AI-generated video of their child grown up, and it kind of speaks to the camera and goes, look, all those photos and videos you're sharing online, this is what someone can do with it. And it kind of produced this really scary video about identity fraud and images. And
I've not seen that.
It's quite scary. And that's just an example of what AI can do today. And, you know, it's obviously accelerating at such a pace. Now, who knows what 10 years is going to do in that space? It's going to be almost a bit, I think it could be quite horrifying what it's going to be capable of.
Well, we've seen AI, I said last week, we've seen AI jump massively in the last 6 months alone. And do you know what my mind's gone to? When I went round to your house a while ago, you showed me that documentary. What was it called? Like Lover, Stalker, Killer or something.
Oh, that's exactly what it was called. Lover, Stalker, Killer.
That's a good guess. And again, if anyone's watching this, watch that. That's an amazing documentary. But could you imagine what the scammers now can do? If you can get deepfake and digital likeness, I shudder to think the scams and the pitfalls we're going to face in future. Because again, it's not the technology that's bad, it's the people, people using it.
Yeah, agreed.
Something else I've got here, well, we kind of mentioned it, I'll do this one, about the phones listening to us. That is a really annoying, frustrating and scary thing, right? We know it happens. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
And it's like, why?
I saw this one funny one where someone had written into a football club, or like an amateur football club. And said, I was scrolling through your website or your social media and this popped up. I don't think it's really suitable for kids. And the football club, and it was like a pornographic type website.
Yeah.
And the football club responded going, that's your suggested, like site section based on your history. And I just thought that was such a funny response.
Oh no. Oh no, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it's, and I want to link it in with my final note around it, is that again, it's another episode about, and you just said it on that advert that you mentioned about our life being out there on social media and then what someone could do with this technology now.
Yeah.
You know, the photos, the information, is it beyond the realms of possibility for people to feed it into an AI and generate a person that's like you?
Yeah.
To con people around you.
Yeah. And you know what people, it's like with voices at the moment, you can generate whole conversations off the back of someone's voice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I'm sure Leo, who had on of my AI episode, I'm sure he actually said you, there are scams going around now where people are, they are replicating people's voice. They're getting samples of people's voices and sending messages to family saying, I'm in trouble, can you send me money? And
I didn't have a voice, sorry. I had a text of someone pretending to be my mum asking for some money. As in, it was one of those really like basic ones of people that can't spell and using terminology that my mum would never ever use. It was kind of like, I've lost my phone. Here's my new number. I could do with some money to pay for the lost phone or something along those lines.
Right,
But yeah, it's going to get worse and worse. And I also think there's a whole younger generation that have now got thousands and thousands of photos online without their consent. So whereas we can choose what we do with our data and our pictures and our images, there's a whole generation of children that would never get that luxury because it's already out there. And that scares me.
And we also know, because of this episode of something I'm going to say, that who knows what they've signed away for these companies to use those photos for.
Yeah, exactly. Who's read the Facebook terms and conditions or the Instagram terms and conditions?
So those were the main thoughts I had on the episode itself. Was there anything else that you had?
We missed one Easter egg, which I've got written down, so I want to make sure I cover all my bullet points.
Go on.
And that's when those two girls were watching the episode at the bar. They look at their phone, there's a notification from Smithereens. So she has one.
See that.
She has a text, and I think she has a notification from a Smithereens app, and obviously a reference to Smithereens.
Oh, well played. I didn't see that. I did see another one written down somewhere saying that that song, Anyone Who Knows What Love Is featured in there. But I clocked
that song as well.
Did you clock that?
Yeah. So that, where was that?
Oh, I watched this episode twice as well because I hadn't seen it before. So I watched it.
Do you know what? I feel like this is the first time I didn't have to Google the Easter eggs. I felt like I got them all as I was kind of going through it. I didn't get the band snatch one because... I haven't watched that episode yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did clock that song.
Okay, well played. I had a couple of other things just related to the episode. So an early idea for the episode had Joan the subject of newspaper headlines over petty colleague complaints. Another saw news networks using deepfakes of politicians to create fake news. I've not seen this series, but Brooker said this episode was inspired by a miniseries called The Dropout, which depicted the creation and downfall of a disgraced tech startup. Brooker said it seemed to make drama from things that happened 10 minutes ago, which is why he had this, the idea for this. And yeah, I've just got the fact that they wrote Annie Murphy and the director of this episode, they worked together on Schitt's Creek. And Brooker wrote Joan with Murphy in mind, having recently watched the series, and he saw her as a likable yet relatable, goofy and flawed, and Murphy was keen to participate before even reading the script. There was one funny thing about this I did get. During filming, apparently crew adopted pigtails in solidarity with Joan, according to the director. So before we move on to scores, because this whole thing related around terms and conditions and end user license, I actually looked online for some funny examples or some examples in real life. Now, there was a shop in the UK actually years ago, it's closed down now, called Game Station. And on April Fool's Day, if you bought something online, so this was April the 1st, 2010, there was a condition in there that said that if you bought anything, you grant us a non-transferable option to claim for now and forevermore your immortal soul. Should we wish to exercise this option, you agree to surrender your soul and any claim you may have on it within 5 working days of receiving written notification from us or one of our authorized minions. Now, only 12% of purchasers saw this and clicked the option to nullify soul transfer, after which GameStation rewarded them with a coupon. After the holiday was over, GameStation relinquished their right to people's souls. Here's another one. In 2014, to illustrate the dangers of public Wi-Fi use, European law enforcement agency Europol decided to include a chilling Herod clause. The free Wi-Fi was provided only if the recipient agreed to assign their firstborn child to us for the duration of eternity. 6 people agreed to the terms to sign up for the free network.
See, I would never spot any of these.
No. Apparently, iTunes has got something in there that says, you also agree that you will not use the products for any purposes prohibited by United States law, including, without limitation, the development, design, manufacture or production of nuclear missiles or chemical or biological weapons.
Wow,
so that's okay. iTunes. Couple more. You said Facebook. Facebook apparently can do whatever they want with your photos and information. They've got a few details in their fine print. For one, you give them license to use all your photos in any capacity they want, for example in an advert. They retain that license even if you delete your account, unless the content has been deleted by everyone else.
What do you mean by everyone else?
So I think if anyone you've tagged in as well, I guess, in, so everyone would have to delete.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Twitter have the right to literally everything you've ever tweeted, whether you use Twitter as a news feed or share every facet of your life. Twitter's terms of service clearly states that they retain the rights to everything, even if you close or deactivate your account. Tumblr, do you remember Tumblr?
I do remember Tumblr. Yeah. Was that an Instagrammy type thing?
Kind of, yeah. They had a funny one in there. So they used their terms of service to remind children that there are other things out there. So it said, you have to be at least 13 years old to use Tumblr. We're serious. It's a hard rule based on US federal and state legislation. But I'm like 12.9 years old, you plead. Nope, sorry. If you're younger than 13, don't use Tumblr. Ask your parents for a PlayStation 4 or try reading a book. And I've just got 2 more because I found these fun. Instagram, you are agreeing to grant Instagram royalty-free worldwide license to use or modify your photos, videos and audio in any way they'd like. You also waive your right to participate in any sort of class action lawsuit against them.
Oh, okay.
And the final one I had was Amazon. They had something called, I think it was called Lumberyard, which was like a software developing kit. And it had in section, and this is the thing that it was making fun of, section 57.10. So, you've got 57 sections at least. It said about the acceptable use of this development tool. It had a clause that basically negated the whole section should a zombie apocalypse take place. So the way it said it was, however, this restriction will not apply in event of the occurrence certified by the United States Centers for Disease Control or successor body of a widespread viral infection transmitted via bites or contact with bodily fluids that causes human corpses to reanimate and seek to consume living human flesh, blood, brain or nerve tissue, and is likely to result in the fall of organized civilization.
How funny.
So, I mean, there we've got some funny ones like the GameStation and the Tumblr one, and I'm sure we probably have got it in our mind, but the ones like Twitter and Facebook where they own everything.
The Facebook one I think is scary because, you know, it's images of your loved ones. And, I think I'm quite careful with having my Facebook set up and so it's a private account so only my friends and family can see it. But if some corporate entity on the other side of the world can then use those images, it makes you think twice, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's the fact they can also put it in an advert, of which you're not going to get anything.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Which is almost basically this episode, isn't it?
It is, because that Joan is not getting any money for using her image.
So I haven't got anything else about the episode itself. Did you have anything?
I've got one other thing. I read up on this, but you know how Selma goes into that Streamery offices in bright yellow, in like a bright yellow tracksuit?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's meant to be a nod to Kill Bill, of like a female empowerment, yeah, kind of like, you know, going in for revenge. And that's what that's meant to be a nod to, which I thought was quite interesting. Because it is a very female-powered episode, isn't it?
It is, actually. Yeah. It's funny because I did say to the wife, actually, that looked like Kill Bill as she was walking in.
Yeah.
So, score. What's your score?
How many have I got above 9?
So, you're asking to cheat. You've got 1, 2...
I'm asking for my information. And if I look at my T's and Z's, I reckon I can get it.
No, everything you say is owned by me now.
Yeah.
You've got 4. You've got Be Right Back, 9.5. White Christmas, 9.2. You've got USS Callister, 9.1. And you've got Striking Vipers, 9.4.
I'm going to go 9.3. I'm going to put this as my third episode.
I really like this. I think it might actually be one of my favourite episodes.
Ooh, big talk.
And I've stayed short of actually saying a score at the moment because I'm still undecided. I watched this twice because I hadn't seen it before. So I wanted to watch it once to enjoy it, once to make notes. And I could watch it multiple times. And the fact is, because it is an upbeat one, it is a funny one, it's not a really dark or depressing one, I think I really liked it. And I actually think it's probably one of my favourite, if not my favourite episode so far.
Do you know what's good about it is, but I felt like I watched it one night, and you know, it's one of those episodes and you kind of wake up the next day and go on a day and you kind of think back to it and you're like, even retrospectively, I really enjoyed it. Like it kind of grows on you even more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But not just that, I think Salma Hayek and Annie Murphy were brilliant in it. It was genuinely funny in places. I mean, where she Salma Hayek has a go at the lawyer, you know, tells him to stuff it up his, you know, in his hemorrhoids. But also all the things we talked about, like AI and deepfake, etc. Now, can we go to 2 decimal places?
This is your show.
See, I didn't realise I've given San Junipero a 9.6, which is fairly high. So I was thinking, do I beat that and do I give it a 9.7?
When you gave that 9.6, I do remember, I think I even told you that I felt like that was too high. And now it's come back to bite you.
It's not. I just don't know. Because I remember at the time, I almost would have given that a 10. I remember my reaction when I texted you.
Yes. Yeah, you were going to give it a 10.
I think I was going to give San Junipero a 10. And I think I talked myself down. Do you know what? I think I'm going to give it a 9.6. I think I'm going to make it my joint top.
Okay.
I loved it. Like I said, I think this and the Rachel, Jack and Ashley 2, just examples of fun episodes can be just as effective. So yeah, there we go. Don't come at me if you disagree with that, but yeah, it's one of my favorites. So I think that's it. Anything else from you, Dan, around this?
No, just I really enjoyed, yeah, just more emphasis that I really enjoyed and talking about it. I didn't just enjoy watching it, I enjoyed talking about it as well. So yeah, it's a good episode.
So yeah, so when we come back, our next episode is going to be Lock Henry, which I'm now looking forward to because it's been mentioned in this program as being dark and the guy didn't want to see it. So, all right. Yeah, we will see you next time for Lock Henry.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a spork and horse feed.